Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
My mind has gone to, as it seems to often go, to familiar truths that we need to see in fresh ways. And I thought about a scripture that I'll turn to, and you'll know where it is. It's in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul speaks about one thing that mattered to him. And it would be easy, particularly when you look around, look at religion, to imagine that, God gave Paul a commission to go out and start churches, and man, I'm going to go out and see how many churches I could start. That's the one thing that matters to me. Or I'm going to see how many souls I can win, and we're going to prop up the statistics and how much money we can raise to do good works, and how big a church can I make? Where the pews are empty, we need more people, and where that's the focus in so much. And yet Paul had a different focus. I'm amazed, and I shouldn't be, at just how much was said in the men's meeting this morning that just dovetails exactly with what I've been saying, because there is a balance in everything. And the Lord helped Paul to understand what really mattered, because yes, God called him to preach the gospel. Yes, he called him to raise up churches. But if he just said, okay, I'm going to do it, that would have been religion. That's what it would have wound up. God help us to see how the kingdom of God really works. And so this is the familiar scripture, of course, is where Paul says, I press on and so forth, I take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. And I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting and so forth, forgetting and reaching. And it's a scripture we've heard many times. And yet you can look at that and just sort of lift it out of its context. And I don't want to do that, because what is the one thing? It's not just the reaching. There was a reaching for something. God had a purpose that he was working out in Paul's life that went way beyond the stuff that he did and every other thing that we tend to see and value in this life. And you go back to verse 10. Well, you go back really to the beginning, and I won't go into it, but he describes his own religious life and all his accomplishments. Based on that, man, he was an important guy. An accomplished guy, full of virtue, full of zeal for God, except it was all based on lies, based on religion, and it was all Paul doing it for his own glory. And then one day he met Jesus, and everything changed. And it changed in amazing ways. And all of a sudden, I believe he began to see in a moment of time what he had really been. And we remember how he describes himself to Timothy and the amazing grace that God showed to him, the mercy that God showed to him. And he refers to himself as the chiefest of sinners. And yet here is this one who showed him himself and yet brought him to such a place of service. Not, oh God, I owe you everything, so here I'm going to give it everything I got. It got way beyond that. Because what did he seek to do when he realized who Jesus was and what he was like? I want to know him. I want to know him. That's not religion. That's personal. This is a real person I'm dealing with here. This is not just somebody way out there setting up a religion and telling me to follow it. This is somebody I want to know personally. And anybody here need to be reminded of that? Yeah, that's what it's about. Because, I was thinking about the service we had recently where, I emphasized the truth that we're waiting for the power, and the power is waiting for us, and the principle of stepping out in faith based upon the promises. And thank God all of that's true. In fact, there's an article, a brief article that'll come out in the next paper when I can get the editor's letter done and get it to the printer. But anyway, that's wonderful truth. But the danger in that is you can reduce that almost to a formula, as though I need to put together all the stuff that I need to do and how I'm supposed to do it. I can read the book, and you know, you can build a religion that you can teach in a classroom if you're not careful. And none of that begins to touch on what Paul is really talking about. And he, somehow, the Lord revealed to him what really mattered. I need to walk with this one. I need to get to know him. So anyway, he says, I want to know Christ. Then he elaborates on what that means. And it gets into territory that really shows us what the nature, what the real purpose of our being rescued is all about. It's not simply, we've said these things many times, it's not simply about erasing the debt of my sin so I can be, my name can be put on a list of those who get into heaven. It's about changing me completely from what I was to what I will be, what he created me to be. And whatever life I live down here is a part of a process that is ongoing as long as we're here. So that's what Paul is talking about. I want to know Christ. So what? And of course, he begins by saying, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Well, we've often pointed out the scriptures where the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave in spite of anything the devil could do and set him on a throne over everything is the power that he has given for us. It is absolutely available to us to live out his purpose for our lives in his kingdom here while we're on this earth. So, but Paul said, I want to know that. Now, know it doesn't mean I want to go to a classroom and be able to write it all down. I want to experience that in my life, because you can know everything about this, and if sin still has a hold in your life, what good is that? If the changes are not literally being worked out in here, then what good is any of this? Because God's purpose is not just to save sinners, give them a ticket to heaven, and say, you know, go for it. This is absolutely a life-changing, character-changing experience that God wants us to have. Clearly, it doesn't happen all at once. But Paul says, this is the focus of my life. If I never preach another message, if I never talk to another soul, if I never get out of prison, whatever else, none of that matters if this is out, if this is missing. He went through some pretty tough things, didn't he? And yet, this is the one thing he said. I want to know him. I want to know the power that was released in his resurrection, because without that, we're helpless. We have no hope of being anything or being any different than we were. Praise God. All right. So how does that happen? And this is where it gets challenging. All right. The power of his resurrection, participation in his sufferings. Praise God. We get to share in sufferings. But once Paul was given a real understanding of what the need was and what was going on, wow, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Participation, the word participation there in the Greek is the word that is also translated fellowship. Now, stop and think about this, and we've said this many times. How did Jesus get from being basically a child of Adam, born into Adam's family, to where he is now? What did it take to get from here to there? He did what his father told him to do here, but he had to die. The life that he got from Adam had to be literally renounced and put to death. You can't reform it. You can't fix it. It has to die. And then he had to receive a brand new life. And of course, the process of death was not so simply boom. There was a lot of suffering. Now, how did Jesus get to be what he is now? The scripture we've used many times in Hebrews. How did he become this perfect, wonderful? You say, oh, he was the Son of God. Well, he came down here and lived as a man. He was tempted in every way, just like you and just like me. Will you talk about somebody who understands and loves me anyway? Sees everything about me, knows the worst things about me. Oh, wow. I want to learn. But listen, what he did to get to that point, he praise God. I'm going to have to look it over and read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 2 is the one I'm thinking of. In verse 10, I'll read the whole passage. Maybe that's what the Lord wanted. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, that's what he's after, to take us from what we were to a place where we can be in a holy place, just like Isaiah saw, and be totally at home there, totally fitted for that life. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting, it was the right thing to do, that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should do what? Should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. It absolutely cost him everything this world could possibly have provided, but he saw what this world was about, what it stood for. He knew all about the life that God had set and given, and they'd given him the job of saving you and me and doing that for sinners like us. God, that's amazing. And when it dawned on Paul what the reality was of who Christ was and what he'd done, I want to know him. But the fellowship of his sufferings means exactly where this is translated. I want to participate in that. I realize in order for me to become what he wants me to be, there's a path that I have to follow. And that means some suffering. Now, we think of suffering as pain or loss or something like that, and it certainly involves those things. But it's anything that says no to what this old nature wants. And the Lord has a way of putting us in circumstances every day in our lives where we have choices to make. And he wants us to learn how to walk with him and how to make the choice to believe him, to agree with him when it hurts.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.